Today I have with me Nate Drummond and Gabrielle Goslin, who are the owners of Six River Farm, a diverse organic vegetable farm located on the shores of Merry Meeting Bay in Bodenham. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So this has been an interesting adventure for you, having this farm. I'm sure that you have learned a lot since you began.
Definitely.
Tell me how this all started.
I guess, way back when we were graduating from college, we were sort of surrounded by lots of more friends and who are sort of starting to get into food and sort of foodie-like people. And a couple years after college, we actually moved down to New York City and were sort of living in Brooklyn and just trying to find work to sort of make it worthwhile to be there. And after a period of time, Gabrielle decided that she really didn't want to be in her office job and found a job at the farmers markets in New York City for a couple farms that were sort of in upstate New York and would come down to the city, and so that became her full-time job.
Yeah, a friend asked me when I was trying to figure out what we were doing and what I wanted to do in New York City. A friend asked me what made me happy about being in the city, and I laughed and said, "Oh, I really like going to the markets." And she's like, "Well, why don't you just ask them for a job? Just go up and whatever stand you like." And I hadn't thought about that, so I went and did that and worked for two farms that were fantastic farms, and I learned a lot from the growers that came down. And got more and more excited about the tangible physical work of selling and interacting with customers and learning about food and food production as well as food consumption. And sometimes on Saturdays I would get Nate to work with me if they needed an extra hand. I think we both realized that living in New York was a temporary situation. It wasn't something we wanted long term, and we both became more interested in doing physical tangible work, and so we decided to go apprentice on a farm. So we went to apprentice on Pleasant Valley Farm in Argyle, New York, and it was the farm that seemed the closest to the one we envisioned for ourselves in the future. They were able to support their family year-round and sold primarily at farmers markets and did a diverse vegetable operation. So we learned from them, and they were incredible teachers. And then we decided to just jump in and start on our own and learn a lot as we went from doing.
Yeah, so that was back in 2007, so pretty much 10 years ago now. And I grew up in Maine. Gabrielle grew up in Western Massachusetts in Amherst. So we were sort of wanted to be back in New England, and we were sort of just looking at trying to figure out farmland that was available. We found a really nice parcel in Bodenham, and so that's where we sort of ended up. We started when we started in 2007, we just grew 2.5 acres of vegetables. It was just the two of us, and we wanted to do farmers markets. That's sort of obviously what we knew well. I think we, Gabrielle in particular, you know, we knew the marketing side of it very well from our time in New York City and whatnot, and we sort of were learning fast on the ground as far as all the other components of the producing vegetables and the business side of it. So it's been pretty much a 10-year adventure since then, and we still actually farm that original piece of land along with some other fields that we lease and also own. And I guess 6 years ago we bought a house that's sort of adjacent that also has some farmland in Bodenham. And 2 years ago we had a daughter, Alice, who sort of adds another great component to our sort of farm adventure. And at this point we grow probably like 15 acres of vegetables, and we also have a lot of decent number of greenhouses, so we're sort of operate all year round now. We do a winter farmers market in Brunswick along with the farmers markets during the spring, summer, and fall that are outside, and combine that with some restaurant and natural food store sales, sort of mostly in and around the Brunswick and Freeport area. And yeah, we've been, from our starts of just, you know, it, when it began, it was just the two of us sort of working, actually not really side by side usually, on opposite ends of the farm, but getting everything done together. And then now we usually have a pretty good sized crew in the summertime, and we keep some of them on throughout the whole winter as well. So.
Did either one of you have a farming background in your families?
No, not at all, actually. Maybe you had a little bit more experience with farming and gardening from working, growing up with your parents. But my family, there's no interest in gardening, no interest in food, in fact. Neither of my parents like to cook. We've had a lot of support since going down this route, but it's definitely not what I grew up with.
No, I mean, I grew up with parents who love the garden, who are actually, my parents are both university professors at entomologists at University of Maine, so they study insects. So we sort of joke that they're sort of our insect pest, our on-call insect pest consultants, and so they've been very supportive in this. But no, I think we're fairly emblematic of maybe a lot of sort of beginning farmers in that we, sort of had a liberal arts education, came at farming from more the food end of things, and so that has maybe been a great help in the sense of we've always been very interested in the vegetables that we're cooking, you know, that we sort of cook what we grow and enjoy them, and we've sort of always been interested in experimenting with different vegetables and very probably adept at marketing. But there was a very steep learning curve in learning to actually do the growing, and certainly apprenticing at a farm helped, and we've been surrounded by other very good farmers as we've gone along who have helped as well. But there's been a lot of education by doing over the years, and that's a nice thing about farming. Sort of every year you sort of have a clean slate almost. You get to try things and learn from your experience, and then you go into the winter time and you can sort of, the fields are frozen and bare, and you get to sort of think about what went right and what went wrong and how to try it again the next year a little bit differently. And so it's sort of it actually provides a very good sort of trial by doing sort of education.
I think in many ways we're really lucky, actually, not to be trying to create our farm on a pre-existing farm, like if one of our families already had a farm that we were taking over, because it's given us a lot more flexibility to create exactly what we want and to change things exactly how we would want them to. There wasn't existing infrastructure or certain equipment that is scaled to a degree that maybe we weren't interested in. We were lucky enough to, and we continue to be lucky enough to lease a barn and some cooler space, but we've really been able to create the farm that we want and grow it at the increments that we're interested in, and to the, yeah, just shaping it each year, like Nate was saying, choosing in the winter, oh, what worked well, but also what are we interested in and how are our interests changing, and, you know, maybe now we're at a certain place where we can try some crops that perhaps aren't quite as profitable, but are fun, and we want to see what they do, and that's okay because we have that flexibility at this point. So I think that's a pretty neat spot to be in.
Yeah.
So give me some examples of crops that you are interested in that you kind of want to play with and see where they go.
Sure. One thing we've been talking about recently is adding some more fruit to our production as a whole. We grow strawberries, but other than that, we haven't done other berries or tree fruit. And we may not be set up or with the skill base currently to really manage them at the most efficient level, but we are talking about just growing some and seeing how that goes, and also having our daughter, she loves fruit of all kinds, and so to be able to add that component to our farm, I think would add a certain amount of joy to all of us, you know, to be able to pick as a family as well as with our crew certainly, but just to enjoy those other flavors.
Yeah, and it's also fun to sort of, you know, you get to indulge yourself in the also sort of some of the obscure sort of offerings in the seed catalog, so it's sort of fun to have the flexibility to try, you know, like a red Napa cabbage or, you know, some whatever obscure chicory or something like that. So and we're also lucky, you know, we sell to a number of very wonderful restaurants, and sometimes they're happy to indulge our indulgences. So if we have something odd that maybe the regular farmers market clientele is not as interested in, you know, sometimes one of the chefs will be interested in giving that a try. Although, to be fair, many of our farmers market customers are amazing in what they're interested in trying too. And honestly, I think we're lucky to live in a part of Maine, sort of in the mid-coast region, that has a very, a very sophisticated food taste. Mm. So it's amazing sometimes how much bok choy or radicchio or thing fennel that we'll sell at the farmers market. So.
Who are some of the stores that you, natural food stores and other stores that you work with?
We sell to Royal River. We've been selling with, working with them since we began, actually. We were able to get certified organic our first year because no one had been growing on our fields for many years prior. So they're an amazing natural food store that we've been selling with our entire farming season. And we also sell to a range of other stores. But we've begun selling to Hanford in Brunswick.
And we sell, I guess those are the main like sort of small grocery stores. I mean, Hanford's not small, but we just do that one Brunswick store. And then we sell a lot to the Heresy Get In, which is in Freeport, and they do a lot of events. So they're a very big customer, and then. Then a lot of those sort of restaurants in Brunswick, El Camino Restaurant, Tao, Henry and Marty, Trattoria Athena, those are all good customers of ours. We sell a bit through, there's a couple small local distributors, Farm Fresh Connection and Unity Food Hub, that we sort of sometimes get our stuff a little bit further. But for the most part, those are some of our bigger core customers.
And what are some of the things that these stores are likely to want, or restaurants are likely to want from you?
Oh, I'd say they want a wide range of things, which is great, and it really complements our farmers market production, because our goal as a farm is sort of to be a one-stop shop of pretty much anything you might want in the vegetable world for as long as possible throughout the year. And so I think that a lot of our wholesale customers appreciate the diversity that we have to offer, as well as the length of time that they're able to get each crop from us. So I think we will focus on extending the season maybe a bit more than, well, there are plenty of farms that are doing that, but I think they're excited to be able to get, you know, lettuce in December or January, as well as, you know, in June and things like that.
Yeah, we offer a wide range. So we do certainly a lot of salad crops and leafy greens, but you know, yeah, root crops and tomatoes and everything. So yeah, it's a pretty diverse mix that we're able to offer people.
And do you have a farm share set up with your farm?
We don't at the moment. I think we've always felt a couple of things. One, coming from the farmers market background, that was always the primary interest for us, and the markets that we do in Brunswick are really quite strong and just getting stronger. And also I think we've felt that if we were to do a farm share in conjunction with a farmer's market, maybe one of those would lose out a little bit, and we wanted to always prioritize the farmer's market and didn't feel great about maybe having a farm share that wasn't quite as wonderful as the selection we were otherwise offering. Although I think there are more creative ways we could consider doing that in the future, but we haven't pursued it yet.
And I think there's just so many very good farms, sort of diverse vegetable farms in our part of the state, and a lot of them sort of, you know, do offer farm shares. And so sometimes we try and think of, you know, marketing niches that are, you know, not being served, or relationships that we have that we can sort of develop further. But I think with the shares, we've looked around and seen that, you know, there's some very good farms that already offer shares within Brunswick or Freeport or further afield. And so maybe there's less of a need for us to try and compete in that niche as much as, you know, work with, you know, work more to, you know, grow more for either, you know, someone like Royal River who we're already dealing with, or, you know, try and add a new crop that we can sell at the farmers market or something like that. So, yeah, we've sort of been trying to take our existing sort of markets and customers and try and just keep developing them.
You talked about, Gabrielle, you talked about, well, actually, I think, Nate, you were the one that said that Gabrielle was not happy with her office job. So I'm interested in what were you doing? What was your education? You guys met at Brown. Yeah. So obviously you have a very strong educational background, academic and educational background. What were you trained to do and what were you doing?
Well, I can't say I was particularly trained to do something. I had a pretty obscure major as an undergrad. I was a South Asian studies major focusing on Eastern religion and language. So Sanskrit wasn't leading me specifically to a career. It was more of a personal interest, which now seems particularly random. But so in New York, I was really just trying to feel out different opportunities that weren't related to any of my studies. And actually, I only had an office job for a few weeks and realized that I really, you know, for a great organization, but commuting to Midtown and sitting in a cubicle with a little window that faced directly to a brick wall of the adjacent building wasn't feeling very fulfilling. So it wasn't about the work so much as just where I was and sitting at a computer. Didn't excite me. Now there's some computer work certainly associated with our job, but I like the physical outdoor aspect quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that was, it was a similar, although slightly longer, progression for me. I mean, I came out of college being very interested in continuing in some sort of academic pathway, and not quite knowing, I was a history major, but not quite knowing sort of if that was going to be more sort of like history or some sort of policy-based work. And I was actually working at Columbia when we were university, when we were in New York City, sort of doing academic research. And yeah, I think it was similarly a process of realizing that although the actual subjects were interesting, the actual complete package of sort of what it meant to work in academics was not actually that appealing to me. And some of that also had to do with just the setting, you know, wanting to be outside and wanting to do more physical work. And also, you know, that there is, I think Gabrielle used the word tangible a couple times, and there's something, you know, that when you're sort of writing papers and doing research and having, you know, that maybe, you know, a small number of other people may read, and sort of informing what sometimes feels like a conversation that's being held by just a few people at a very high level and not really going any further than that, interest in something that was tangible was very strong. And I think there had been a period right after college where we had actually both worked for an organic apple orchard up in Maine prior to moving to New York City. And it was a very sort of small taste of farm work. I stayed on and did some stonemasonry work afterwards with the owner. And it was just sort of enough of a taste to sort of make us think like, gosh, that really felt good. It was good to be physically tired at the end of the day. It felt good to sort of just know very concretely what you had accomplished sort of thing. And I think that for both of us, that was something that was missing in our day-to-day lives, working in the city. And so, you know, that has been honestly a big part of what is rewarding about working on the farm is just that, you know, there's never any question about what you got done and what the meaning of that is. And even if it's, you know, just the, you know, there's satisfaction in weeding a row of carrots and having it be weedy when you start and clean when you finish, and then also knowing how important that is in the sort of process, the whole process of getting those carrots from seed to harvest. And that's, you know, it's farming's a lot of very small rewards, a lot of very small frustrations as well, but a lot of small rewards. And I think the cumulative effect is very significant on just a quality of life level.
I think also, since we run our own farm, there's a great balance between, we've been talking a lot about the physical work and, you know, weeding carrots and sort of the tangible rewards of harvesting that carrot later in the season or something like that. But because it's our own farm, there's also so much that we're talking about and learning about and doing that is very stimulating and intellectually stimulating and challenging, and you know, spending time planning the farm and how we're going to have a rotation and where does this fit into our business model and, you know, how are we looking to grow and, you know, where's our profit margin and all of these things, you know, is a nice balance for us, I guess is what I'm getting at, so that it's not just the physical labor, but we're also continuously challenged intellectually as well.
Yeah, I think we like to sort of think of it like organizing the farm as like sort of trying to figure out sort of, it's like a process of making the sort of the circles overlap. And, you know, you have the big circle of the production side of things, of getting things to grow sufficiently well so that you have quality, you know, produce over a long period of time, and then the circle of getting things to sell, and then the circle of sort of making it all be sustainable, and both ecologically and lifestyle wise and financially, and so sort of getting all of those to overlap and sort of trying to keep things in that sweet spot in the middle. So yeah, there's a lot of sort of intellectual stimulation and just doing that, which is great. And somewhat, I won't say unexpected, but it's not why we got into it sort of thing necessarily, but it has been probably a big part of what has made it satisfying and, you know, something that we are interested in continuing on with.
We talk a lot with people on the show about different types of intelligence and different types of intelligence that are required to do whatever it is that someone chooses to do. And it sounds like you've tapped into multiple different types of intelligence in order to run a small business, actually grow food, parent your child, market. I mean, it sounds like it's not necessarily all, well, maybe very little of it is stuff that you got from sitting in a classroom.
It's a good question. I think that our experience as undergrads just helped us learn how to think about our decision-making process, and that was probably the most beneficial thing, you know, the way that we decide to make small choices as well as larger choices is very much informed in the style of learning that we had as undergrads, I think.
Yeah, but it's also opened up the reality that there are lots of ways to learn, and that, you know, just learning in the classroom or, you know, a college-based education, you know, has lots of value, but there's also, yeah, there's lots of different ways to learn, and learning hands-on learning. I mean, I think one of the wonderful things about farming in Maine is that there's this incredibly supportive farming community. You know, it's certainly assisted by great organizations like MAFCA and Maine Farmland Trust and the University Extension System. But at the core, you know, there's a lot of farmers who are very passionate about sharing what they know and being very open, and certainly older, more established farmers being very invested in younger farmers getting going and getting established themselves. And so, you know, we've had the great benefit of just not only being able to learn through our own experience, but really being able to, you learn from visiting other farms or going to farm conferences and hearing other farmers talk about what they do. We're actually very lucky to have landed where we did in Bodenham. There's sort of there's a wonderful swath of very good alluvial farm soil that we sit on, and so that's a great help to our farm, but it also supports a number of other farms. So at the moment there's I think 7 different sort of all vegetable or cut flower farms that are all clustered right in our neighborhood, and so, you know, we get to essentially watch what our neighbors do and learn from them. And so it's sort of, you know, it's like a little cluster or almost sort of like incubator. And so you, that is incredibly important. You know, I think you sort of don't realize until you're doing that how it's amazing to be able to, the daily ability to bounce small creative ideas off someone else who is having a similar experience to you and compare notes, so to speak, is a very powerful way to learn. So that has also been very important for us.
Yeah, I also want to add, in the height of our season now, we hire up to 16 people, and everyone's coming from a wide range of prior work or life experiences, and we have been incredibly lucky to also learn from our employees. They have so much to offer, not just in terms of, you know, energy and enthusiasm for the work that they're doing on our farm, but also maybe suggesting, hey, have you tried this a way that perhaps Nate and I have never even considered, or, you know, small or big changes that are suggested have actually been incredibly valuable for our farm. And we have some employees who have worked with us for a number of years, fellow Andy, who's worked with us for 8 years, and he manages the winter crew, which changes our role in the winter and means we can be home more and have more family time as well, is incredibly valuable. But, you know, he's very invested in the farm and always thinking about ways that we can do better, and I think that has been a huge asset for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true. It's like the more brains and eyes and that you have sort of, you know, sort of engaged in the farm, you know, the more sort of the collective sort of, decision-making is better and the better the outcome. So that has been a big, and yeah, many of our employees have their own farm experience working on other farms and whatnot. So they're sort of, you know, we can tap into them to figure out, you know, sort of what other people are doing and whatnot. So.
Well, I appreciate your coming in to talk with me today about this. This is very interesting for me, and we will make the information about Six River Farm available to our listeners on our show notes page. I appreciate all the time that you've taken to come in and talk to us and to learn about farming and to send vegetables out in the world. As someone who goes to Roy River Natural Foods on a regular basis, I have eaten your produce before. You do a very good job. It's quite delicious. I've been speaking with Nate Drummond and Gabrielle Goslin, who are the owners of Six River Farm, a diverse organic vegetable farm located on the shores of Merrymeeting Bay in Bodenham. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, appreciate it.